this is Sally and welcome to Reclaiming Pride, LGBT plus survivors of narcissistic abuse. Before we start, there is a trigger warning. The episodes of this podcast may at times refer to domestic violence, emotional, financial, and sexual abuse. To begin, I'd like us to start with a one-word feelings check. What's one word for how you are feeling right now? Not how you are making others feel, but how are you feeling? In one word. This week, we're going to be looking at gaslighting, word salad, and projection, and how these work in narcissistic and toxic relationships. Narcissistic gaslighting refers to a manipulative tactic used by narcissistic people or people with narcissistic personality disorder, and it's aimed to control, confuse, and undermine you. It's aimed to tilt your perception of reality to such an extent that you start to feel very destabilized. This can happen in various relationships. This can happen in intimate romantic relationships, familial relationships, and also professional settings as well. It can be very harmful to our emotional well-being. The term itself, as I mentioned, I think in the first podcast, comes from the movie Gaslight from 1944, and it stars Ingrid Bergman. She plays a wife who's being manipulated emotionally by her husband, and his intent is actually to try and kill her. In her book, The Narcissist in Your Life, Julie L. Hall writes that gaslighting will enable the narcissist to appear right, appear reasonable, feel superior, play the victim, assert control, win arguments, shift blame, get their way, avoid accountability, and get away with abuse. Gaslighting actually falls under a much larger context of manipulation. However, it is so destabilizing and such a central part of narcissistic abuse that it really does deserve its own category. So wherever you look up gaslighting, you'll see that it's often cited as a form of emotional abuse. Have you noticed lately that the word gaslighting, along with other words like triggered and narcissist, are being thrown around a lot in social media and online? This can actually feel quite invalidating for somebody who has suffered under the abuse of someone who's gaslit them, who has triggered them constantly, who has invalidated them. So let's take a quick look at what gaslighting is not and what it is. Gaslighting is not disagreeing with someone. Gaslighting is not even arguing with someone. So for example, if someone says to you, "Oh, you forgot that part," or "I don't remember it quite that way," or "I don't see it that way at all, I'll be honest." None of these things are gaslighting. What they are is someone asserting a boundary and saying, well, they disagree with you, or they remember it differently, or they saw something else at that time. Now listen to the difference. This is gaslighting. When you have clearly asserted something that both of you know happened yesterday, for example, one of you may have gone to the store to pick something up. Gaslighting is saying that that never happened. Gaslighting is, no, you don't feel that way when you're trying to explain to someone how you are feeling. Gaslighting also consists of a form of withholding, which can lead to long periods of silent treatment from someone. This is sometimes called stonewalling, and it can look like saying things like, "I'm not going to talk to you if you bring this up again," or "If you keep talking, I'm going to walk out of here." Now, what they're referring to isn't, you know, they're not saying, well, if you keep yelling at me or if you keep abusing me, I'm going to walk out of here, which is a healthy boundary. No, these are things like, for once, you've actually tried to even broach the topic of your own feelings. And then they will threaten you with stonewalling or walking out. I remember when I would try and do this, when I would try and once in a while broach the subject of my own feelings, my ex would literally talk over me very loudly and start to count and say things like, "If you keep talking about this, I'm going to walk out now. I'm going to walk out in 1, 2, 3. I would be crying, trying to say how she'd hurt me or what was going on with me in some way. It wasn't ever anything unreasonable. This is gaslighting. Gaslighting also, as you've heard, contains contradicting. Contradicting erodes your sense of certainty by telling you that you don't remember a situation correctly. As I've mentioned this phrase before in earlier podcasts, moving the goalposts. So gaslighting phrases might include things that minimize your feelings. Something like, "Oh, you're just too sensitive," or "You're just being petty. You're just getting upset over such a small thing, or even just abject denial that it ever happened, or that they ever said what they did, what they said, that they ever did what they did. Gaslighting literally moves the goalposts, because not only is it a shift in reality, it is also experienced as a change in the rules. It's a mind game. So obviously this is exhausting. It will age you. It is extremely stressful and a form of emotional abuse. Gaslighting doesn't actually stop, though, with emotional and mental torture. Gaslighting can also take the form of physicality. There is such a thing as physical gaslighting. So, for example, sometimes when we're in relationships with these narcissists, we question ourselves. We have become so trapped, so brainwashed, that they could throw something and we'll think, well, that was justified because of what I did or what I said. The next step up from that is a shove or a grab, or grabbing the collar of someone's shirt and pulling them backwards because they don't want you walking too far ahead of them, or they don't want you walking a certain way. It escalates and it continues to escalate. I'm here to tell you that all of the things that I've just mentioned are physical abuse. And it may look like the narcissist is grabbing your arm and holding on too tight, or maybe even being too rough during sex. They may say things like, oh, come on, that didn't really hurt. Or when did I grab you? I didn't grab you. You're too sensitive. That was passion. It was a passionate moment. You're just not a passionate person, so you wouldn't understand. This is all tied in with your intimacy issues. I remember my ex would often defend her narcissistic rage to me by saying that she was a passionate Latina. Narcissistic rage, the yelling, the throwing things, the stonewalling silence, the demands for sexual intimacy that you may experience after a horrendous argument where someone may have thrown you out onto the street, all under the banner of being quote unquote passionate, are ridiculous. This is not passion. This is abuse. Also, when there are children involved, children are especially vulnerable to gaslighting. The adults in their lives are supposed to be honest. They're supposed to validate. So as a child, they're literally, as you know, like a blank page, a blank slate. So a child is all hardwired to doubt themselves and their own reality before questioning the adult, for the most part. So if there are children involved, it's especially devastating. The gaslighting narcissist in your life can leave you feeling full of self-doubt. And as a result of that, it's almost scarily clever on their part, because then you become over-reliant on them and thus even more susceptible to their emotional abuse. Narcissists exist everywhere, so you might have a narcissistic boss who could also be particularly devastating, because you might have a great pride in your work. You carefully execute something, you take time on it, you've taken on a new responsibility, only to be second-guessed to the point that you just feel like you're going mad. It can take an extreme toll on your mental health and your physical health. Gaslighting can make us feel full of self-doubt. It can make us feel quote unquote crazy, confused, and most of all, isolated. Because try explaining to someone what gaslighting is and what's been going on behind closed doors when the narcissist you've been stepping out with has been acting very normal in front of everybody else. This is something that's very insipid. It's something that's done once the door is closed, nobody else is around. It's almost like a code. You both know what it is, and the person knows they can do it to you. They will never do it to you while other people are around. Notice that. Or if you are in a social situation, they'll do something very grandiose and completely deny something and make it just so awkward that you won't be able to do it. You won't be able to deny it in front of other people. Like most survivors, you're probably exceptionally easygoing as a person. You've always known that about yourself. The only person who's ever seen you as otherwise is the narcissist. And the reason for this is because they're jealous of that easygoing attitude. So when you're gaslit by this person, you feel naturally frustrated enough and affronted enough to be defensive, to speak up. And that's when the narcissist will attempt to rewrite history and deny that the incident they're talking about ever happened. So here's a phenomena that starts to happen when you're in a relationship with somebody with narcissistic personality disorder, or really any of the B cluster personality disorders, to be honest, is that you'll find yourself disagreeing with them, you'll find yourself arguing, and you'll find yourself defending and so on and so forth, and trying to justify this will start to turn you into this petty individual that you know you are not. You will literally start to sink to their level because you are having to defend every single syllable that comes out of your mouth, every move you make. And then the irony of all of that, they will start to show that it's annoying them that you are doing this. Just to let you know too, for the future, we're going to have an episode on something called JADE, J-A-D-E. So when you're being gaslit by a narcissist or another toxic person, especially in an intimate relationship, you feel the need to justify, argue, defend, and explain. So JADE. And these are the four things that will never get you anywhere. In fact, it will make it worse because the person that you're arguing with will actually get energy from this. They'll get what we call narcissistic supply from this arguing and defending. There's absolutely no point in defending yourself. Trying to argue with a narcissist is like trying to kick your way out of quicksand. You'll just get deeper and deeper. It's extremely frustrating. Have you ever had the conversation from hell with your narcissistic ex or the person that you're currently with? I bet you have. In fact, I bet you've had hundreds of them. They will make a series of outrageous statements. They talk at you. Meanwhile, they'll also accuse you of talking at them. They'll make statements that are destabilizing, crazy making, because you're not only being accused of something that you are not doing or did not do, but you are literally witnessing it happening at you at the same time. And before you can even respond to these outlandish statements, they're already on to the next one. So it's kind of like a battering ram of a conversation. And really, it's not even a conversation, because a conversation is a back and forth. This is not a back and forth. This is just send. There is no receive. I remember that during these battering ram situations, she would literally yell at me, "It's about send and receive, Sally. Send and receive." Meanwhile, she didn't know how to receive, she didn't know how to listen, and she was literally just yelling and sending. Some of the hallmarks of gaslighting conversations and word salad that is contained within gaslighting are the circular conversation. So you'll think that a subject is closed, that you'll be at peace, you might watch a film together, or it could even be just a few minutes later, like 2 minutes later, and then they'll bring it up again and you'll start discussing it all over again from the start. As if you had not had the discussion that you had had earlier on. And like I say, listeners, this could have been 2 minutes earlier. They'll start reciting all of the same lies, garbage, and completely ignoring you and kind of talking over you as they're doing it. It will be almost the same verbatim conversation that happened moments ago or hours ago. It's just their way or the highway. So nothing will ever be resolved because everything has to be on their terms. The thing is that narcissists have the same issues. These will keep recurring because the same behaviors are pathological. So the same arguments, the same situations, you'll never escape those with the narcissistic person. For example, why do they keep talking about their ex? Why are they so friendly with their ex all over again? Why are they suddenly not paying attention to you? Why did they just seem bored with you the whole time? Why do they keep looking at the phone where you're trying to talk to them about something important? And every time you bring up any issues, if you dare, because the longer the relationship goes on, the less courage you feel to do so because it becomes eroded. When you actually bring up your own feelings and your own needs, it literally just starts to become 100% about their feelings and their needs. So for example, I remember many, many, many times, my goodness, I would have the courage to bring up something that was upsetting me or bothering me or what have you, or about the way she had done or said something to me. And within moments, it would literally be within 60 seconds, the whole thing was flipped and it would be about all my issues or my hangups and about her feelings. And she would end up getting emotional and crying and I would be, you know, the abuser and she would be the victim in that scenario. So whenever you talk about your feelings, it will always, always end up being twisted and turned around to being about their feelings. So there's absolutely really no point in doing it because they don't care about your feelings. The next thing that happens in these word salad conversations that are contained in gaslighting is accusing you of doing things that they are doing. What you have to remember here is that narcissists lack empathy and they have no sense of shame and they will never feel guilt. Basically, what they do is they label you with all of their own dark qualities. They actually know that they're doing this and that they're just waiting for your reaction to it. So I've seen lots of people talk about this and it's the look on the person's face when they're doing this. I don't know if any of you've experienced this, but they have this kind of look where it's almost like their pupils are really enlarged. It's almost like they're turned on. There's kind of this, they've never felt so alive kind of look on their face when you are extremely emotional, because they're torturing you in that moment. When they speak to you, this is another one. When they speak to you, they are condescending and sarcastic and patronizing. Sarcasm is usually the modus operandi of their humor, quote unquote, because they don't really have a sense of humor. I remember towards the end of our relationship, I would even go so far as to say 99.9% of the time, her talking with me was sarcasm. It was always some form of mockery on some level or another. And it wasn't self-deprecating by any means. They don't know how to do that. It's always on you and other people. With their tone, they will mock you and then gauge your reaction to see how much further they can push. They do a lot of that. The thing is, when you let them, which sometimes you don't really have the choice, because you're trapped in this abusive relationship and you're really fearful of them. So once you let them, you will literally be opening the door to even more abuse. I remember towards the beginning of our relationship, she used to say this weird thing to me, and I never quite understood what she meant. She used to say, "You don't want me to unleash, Sally. You don't understand what that means. When I unleash, watch out." I never knew what she meant, because all we were going and doing was having coffee and talking and, you know, things like that, discovering each other, I guess, talking about interests and stuff like that. Not that she would really listen. It was mostly her talking about her interests, but I was in love with her, so I just listened for hours. But she would say that randomly. And later in the relationship, I remember the day that I realized what she meant was years later, probably like 8 years later. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what she meant by I'm going to unleash. You don't want to see me unleash. It's like the Incredible Hulk. You won't like me when I'm angry. It's like she knows. She knows she's abusive. I think many of them know they're abusive. It's very, very mind-boggling. Another thing that they will do in these situations is that they will constantly bring up your past wrongdoings and ignore their own. God forbid you would bring up any of their shortcomings. What will happen is it will, again, be completely flipped. It's like when you try and talk about your feelings. It will be completely flipped, and it will end up about your shortcomings, all the things you do wrong, and so on. So you could have started out the conversation wanting to talk about intimacy, and it end the conversation, the fact that you want more. And the conversation could end up with being your fear of intimacy, you needing to see a psychiatrist, your parental situation when you were a child contributing to the fact that you cannot match her passion, all of those kinds of things. It will go there instead of staying where it should, which is kind of, oh, you know, let's explore this thing that my partner's bringing to me. Another one is the amount of multiple personas that you will witness when you have these circular word salad conversations with a narcissist. It's an old movie now, but you've probably seen, and if you haven't, I would highly recommend it. I think it ages pretty well. Terminator 2. So the part where the liquid metal man is fighting with Arnold Schwarzenegger is fighting with the Terminator, and they're right on the edge of that liquid lava pit. And he throws the liquid metal man inside the lava pit. And all of the kind of the heads and the bodies of all the people that the liquid metal man has killed start popping out of him, kind of all of their souls in a way. It's quite a creepy sequence. But I remember being in these conversations with her, and it felt like watching that liquid metal man disintegrate. It was literally like watching a wreck. All of these personalities will start to come up. I remember being in many of these circular conversations where we would be stuck on the couch for 2.5 hours on a Saturday morning when we were supposed to be going somewhere that we'd planned to go. But it was obvious that I was sitting in front of someone who just really wasn't well. And it was just like seeing all of these different personas come out of her in one conversation. The victim, the good person, the bad person, the demented person, the stalky person, the one who knows everything about you and things they probably even shouldn't, the scary person, the angry person, and then the little child. That one pops in and out quite a lot as well. They revert to that. The idea is, I think, that they're actually probably quite stuck there. What you'll see as well in these conversations is that the narcissist is always the victim. So when I first met my ex, she was fully convinced that she was a complete victim of her ex-girlfriend. She told me that her ex had stolen her identity. When years later, I realized it was literally the reverse. because that's what narcissists do. They steal other people's identities, kind of like magpies. They don't build their own nest, they take other people's. She told me that her ex-partner had cheated on her, and then later I found out that it was the opposite. All of these things were projection. Another thing that happens is you find yourself explaining how to act like a human being to this person. So you'll notice that you'll start to have to explain to the person how to treat you, how to treat other people with empathy, what feelings are, how to be nice. So this is not normal. You should not have to explain to an adult the basics of how to treat another human being. The added layer of this is that you are also the victim of this situation. You are also being victimized by this person, and yet you are having to explain to them how to treat you and not abuse you. And the thing is too, they will never listen because they don't think they are abusing you. The thing is, they know how kind you are. They know how empathic you are. Otherwise, they would not have stayed with you. They would not have chosen you. And I don't mean that in a good way. I mean it in that they know how empathic, how good, how beautiful you are. Otherwise, they would go find it somewhere else. The thing is, though, they find all that utterly, utterly boring. You start to have gratitude for crumbs. So you will eventually find yourself having gratitude for the emotional crumbs that they throw you. You'll be over the moon for the 1 hour in a horrendous day. You'll be so happy with the gift that you never wanted because they never listen to you, and so therefore they have no idea what it is that you want. Or they actually might know what it is that you want, but they don't think that you should be having that. They think that you should be having this. At the end of these conversations, you'll be emotionally drained. You'll probably have been crying. You'll probably have a headache. It puts stress on your heart, on your body. It releases cortisol. You'll just be exhausted and you won't really be able to accomplish anything. And after that, that's when they'll want to hop up off that couch and go out and do the things that you'd planned to do. So what you'll notice about all the things that I've just mentioned is they all have some element of projection in them. So projection is actually quite a primitive defense for a human being. It's a pattern that sometimes people engage in, even without thinking about it. Some clinicians even argue that it occurs completely outside of our awareness. The basic gist of projection is someone might project their own flaws, fears, and shortcomings, and other uncomfortable aspects of their personality onto somebody else. So for example, if someone is lying, they might accuse another person of lying. That's the simplest form of projection. So narcissistic people and other toxic people, mostly people in those B cluster personality disorders, are extremely fragile. They're always monitoring their environment for threats. And the closer you are to them or to any B cluster personality disordered person, the worse it will be for you. Because the closer you are, the more of a threat you are. Because the more you can abandon them, the more you know who they are, the more you can see right through them, and the more supply they rely on you for. Projection with a narcissist is a way of punishing you for their own deficits. And those deficits are obviously many because they lack emotional maturity and they lack insight to understand all of their issues. So it's kind of like a toddler. In fact, as we go through these podcasts, you're going to see more and more that someone with narcissistic personality disorder is very much like a toddler emotionally. They really didn't mature past the toddler stage. They might be an adult. They might have a very high-powered job. They might have a large family, a massive house, a lot of financial responsibility. But emotionally, they are literally a toddler. It's as if their psyche knows that they're bad behavior, but their conscious mind doesn't catch up with it enough to admit it. And that's where the projection comes from. That's kind of what toddlers do too. They can't compute that they have done anything wrong, so it must therefore be being done to them. It must therefore be you. Now, this all sounds very much like they don't really know what's happening. Well, don't be fooled. The thing with the narcissist is they know exactly what's happening. And the further they will push you, the more they will enjoy to see you wriggle on the end of their hook, because that's how they get their narcissistic supply. They need to see you feeling something so that they can feel something. You may be being accused of lying when it's actually them who is lying. Or maybe they're not lying, but you certainly aren't either. You may be accused of being emotionally cold or being afraid of intimacy, when quite clearly and obviously it's actually them who are extremely emotionally cold and have problems with intimacy. Sigmund Freud argued that when people project, when normal people project, now when I say normal, I mean folks who aren't on the spectrum of the B cluster personality disorders. So when those people project, it's usually that they feel ashamed, threatened in some way, something like that. However, when someone with NPD or a toxic person projects, this is pathological. It is a modus operandi of this person, and it will go on until it becomes a pattern and a primary way of dealing with feelings and with other people. So when a person is regularly accusing other people of their own shortcomings or attributing patterns or moods to people that are simply not true on a regular basis, it is considered pathological by Freud, and other clinicians and theorists would then argue that this kind of projection is a primary defensive pattern observed in narcissism. So in other words, if it keeps happening and it happens with you and everybody else around you, you'll notice too that it won't just be you, right? It will be the person's family. It will be their friends. It will be the people at their job that they're having a hard time holding down. They'll project onto all of those people. So it's truly pathological. It won't just be you. So I know that that was an awful lot of information. So before we move on to the final part of our journey today, and onto the second part with the journal entry, I just want to recap and bring these things together for us with an overview of everything we've talked about so far. So narcissistic gaslighting involves a narcissistic individual using gaslighting tactics to manipulate and control another person. This might include things like denying reality. The narcissist might deny saying or doing something that they clearly did, causing you to question your own memory. This includes twisting facts. So the narcissist might distort events, making you doubt your own understanding of what happened. The next one is blaming. The narcissist will shift blame onto you for things that aren't your fault, making you feel guilty or responsible for their actions. Projecting. The narcissist might accuse you of traits or behaviors that they themselves possess, causing you to feel confused and defensive while watching them do exactly those things to you. Minimizing feelings. The narcissist might downplay your emotions or concerns and make you feel like your feelings are invalid or unimportant. And finally, isolating. The narcissist will try and isolate you from friends or family, making it easier to manipulate their perception of reality. So once this has all happened to you, then what's happened is that a sense of dependency has been created. So in that way, they can manipulate you even further. This is all meant to control and undermine our sense of reality, self-worth, and confidence. It can lead us to feeling confused, anxious, doubting our own sanity. Recognizing these behaviors is a first step to protecting yourself from such manipulation and seeking support if needed. So now that we've had a look at gaslighting, word salad, and projection, I hope this has helped you to identify and perhaps name some of the ways in which you have been treated. So what we're going to do now is take a quick break, and after that, we're going to have our third journal entry prompt on today's topic. I'll see you in a moment. Welcome back. So now this is the section of the episode where we do our journaling. If you are a stationery freak like me, get your journal out. If you just want to write it on a piece of paper, that's absolutely fine. If you're typing it into your phone, any way possible, just to record your thoughts for these two journal prompts. So in the last episode, you might remember that we had some choices for journal prompts. So today I've got two choices for you. And they are both on the topic of exploring your truth and documenting the effects of gaslighting. So prompt number one is for those of us who are in the early stages of healing or may even still be in a toxic relationship. Journal prompt number two is for those of us who are now free and in the process of reclaiming our truth. So here is journal entry number one. And again, this is for those who may still be in the relationship or you're still in the early stages of processing. This one is on personal emotions. Describe the emotions you felt while being gaslit. Did you doubt yourself, your memories, or your perceptions? How did this uncertainty make you feel about your own sanity? So that was number one. And then number two is for those who are now free of the toxic relationship and are ready to reclaim their truth. Write about the journey towards recognizing your own truth. How did you begin to trust your instincts again? What steps did you take to regain your self-assurance and self-confidence? trust. So those were your two prompts for this week. If you actually want to do both of them, of course, that might be wonderful because one kind of leads into the other. One is a prerequisite for the other, if you like. But if you just want to choose one, then that's also totally fine. Remember, this journal prompt is designed to provide you with a safe space to express your thoughts and emotions. Feel free to write openly and honestly and take your time as you work through these reflections. Your journey towards healing and empowerment is unique, and acknowledging your experience is a significant step forward, listeners. Please note, this podcast is not intended to replace professional therapy or counseling. It serves as a supplementary resource for support and encouragement. Listeners, you are encouraged to seek professional help if needed. I did, and it still works for me every day. Stay tuned, and I look forward to healing with you next time. Bye-bye.